Hi, I'm the cheapest fucking jump scare ever tacked on to the last 5 seconds of a horror movie, Taylor.
And I'm unfolding out of a box like a victim of one of Hannibal Lecter's murders, Jemmy. And this is the Final Girl Files. Hey, Taylor, this isn't a Christmas movie, but it is.
But it is. In a
to me.
To you.
Only.
Oh, man.
You know, part of me was like, what if Taylor likes it?
Part of me was like, what if Taylor likes it? I'm going to be honest.
I was going to be like, what if this is like a reverse Skinamarink where she extols the virtues of Sinister onto me? Because people like this movie. Actually, hey, everyone, we watched 2012 Sinister, directed by Scott Derrickson, your friend and mine, featuring Ethan Hawke, Juliet Rylance, Vincent
D'Onofrio,
Claire Foley, Michael Hall, Daddario, and James Ransone, Eddie Casbrack, our good friend.
Yeah.
And if you like this movie, please leave.
Yeah, get out of here while you still can.
Please leave. I am going to be so mean to this movie, and I know it has fans. So, like, if you like this movie, please get out of here.
We respect your opinion.
Yes.
We're giving you the chance to get out of here while you can.
Okay.
So for those of you who are left.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hey. Hey, this is not a good movie.
Oh my god, this movie was booty. This movie was booty ass.
This is not a good movie.
Jemmy, this movie was booty ass.
Trigger warnings.
Yeah.
Murder, child death.
Children killing their parents.
Hanging, poisoning, drowning.
Any way that you can think to kill somebody.
Getting set on fire, like.
It's all here. Greatest hits.
Yeah, they're really, really going through the list of ways to die. I think that's it for the most part. From what I can remember. This movie, like, slides off my brain so quickly.
Yeah, I'm like, struggling to recall this film. I watched it a few days ago, and now I'm like.
I watched it yesterday.
And you've seen it before. And I will
watch it again. I have. I've seen this movie more times than I've seen a lot of movies I enjoy.
Tell us the story of, number one, why you've seen this movie so much, and number two, why it's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
Go. Give us the tea.
I actually saw this movie in theaters when it came out. I saw it with an ex-boyfriend of mine. And at the time, I liked it. Because it was, like, back when I first started getting into horror movies. And you know that point where it's kind of, like, even just, like, seeing a horror movie is this kind of, like, cool thing that you're getting into. And it's like, yeah, I saw a horror movie. It was good. And I remember seeing trailers for this. I think I saw a trailer for this when I went to go see The Woman in Black. And I thought it looked interesting. Because the premise is actually pretty interesting, but it just doesn't do anything with it. But I did enjoy it for the first time, and I was trying to think, because I had kind of forgotten why it had transcended from movie that I liked to movie that I absolutely fucking despise. And I think it was a friend of the pod, Meeks, who said that it was bad, and it just became like a meme with me and my friends. Like, the movie itself just became a fucking meme. And it was because of that my darling dear brother Jace got me a copy of Sinister for Christmas one year, like as a gag gift, right?
Yeah, as you do.
And we were like, oh, let's watch Sinister on Christmas for a laugh. Let's do it. And we did, and it was bad. as it has been every time we've watched it. But
spoiler
it just
alert.
Sort of became like a stupid little tradition that we did just to watch Sinister on Christmas Eve. And then one year we didn't do it. And that year was 2019. So now, in order to stave off the fucking apocalypse, we must sit down and watch Sinister on Christmas Eve
it's
every year.
A ritual.
You're all welcome. You're all welcome. This is like the fucking groundhog seeing his shadow of Christmas Eve. If we have watched Sinister, the year will not be too bad.
If you don't watch Sinister, bad things will happen.
So yes, listeners, in 2 weeks' time, on December 24th, I will be sitting down with my siblings and watching Sinister. Again. Twice. Twice in 1 year.
It's so funny that this is just a thing that you do every year.
And therefore, to me and to my darling brothers, Sinister is a Christmas movie.
I don't have any significant memories with this film.
This is the first time you saw it,
yes.
Right? Yeah. I'm sorry to have made you watch it.
And
Made you watch it.
I gotta say, I did kind of go in thinking, like, well, maybe I'll like it. Maybe I'll have, like, a hot take about Sinister. No. No, it's shit. It's a terrible movie.
It's just bad. It's just bad.
It's just a bad movie. Here's the thing, though. Have you ever seen a movie, right? And this kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier about the first time that you saw it, where, like, you see a movie as an adult and you're like, oh, I would have thought that this was, like, the pinnacle of cinema if I'd have seen this when I was, like, 14 years old.
Repo, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's not good. Sinister is a bad movie. But I know that if I had seen this at the right age, like, this is a great movie to scare the shit out of a middle school slumber party.
Oh, for sure.
Like, this is like, that kind
even
of
then, even then, you can do so much better, because this movie is fucking boring.
I mean, like, not to get into, like, a side thing, but, like, for me, that movie was The Uninvited with Emily Browning, which I saw at a slumber party in middle school, and I remember thinking was the scariest fucking movie I had ever seen, and then I watched it as an adult, and I was like, this is kind of just a bad PG-13 horror movie from the 2000s. I feel like Sinister could have easily been The Uninvited.
Yeah, I liked this the first time I saw it, and I remember seeing the trailer, and I've been to rewatch the trailer to see if it was, like, actually a good trailer. Hey, listeners, let's find out what the premise of this movie is. Shall we? Let's see what Google has to say. It's a long one, so let me take a drink of water here.
Lube up those vocal cords.
True crime writer Ellison Oswald is in a slump. He hasn't had a bestseller in more than 10 years and is becoming increasingly desperate for a hit. So when he discovers the existence of a snuff film showing the deaths of a family, he vows to solve the mystery. He moves his own family into the victim's home and gets to work. However, when old film footage and other clues hint at the presence of a supernatural force, Ellison learns that living in the house may be fatal. This is wrong, actually, because he finds the films after he moves his family into the house.
Yes, okay. Oh my god, okay.
We're gonna do a plot by plot beat here, but before we get started, can I just say, I want to talk about Scott Derrickson a little, because something happened. I made an offhand comment that Ethan Hawke, both in this movie and in general, looks a hell of a lot like my good friend Stephen Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Stephen Strange,
I kept thinking that throughout this entire movie.
He looks, that fucking, the gray sweater and the college tee, that's a Stephen fit.
That's
anyway.
Stephen.
So, you know, I just made that joke, and, like, you know, Jamie and Jace and Shelby were all like, yeah, he does, haha. And then I got to Googling, because I found out Scott Derrickson directed the first Doctor Strange movie,
mm-hmm.
And Ethan Hawke was in the running to play Doctor Strange. And
guys, brutal scenes.
I can't. This may not, listeners, this may sound like nothing to you, but when you're me and you have the history that you have with this movie, and you also have a Marvel hyperfixation, this is information that can kill you.
This is poisonous.
This gave me genuine psychic damage. I was, like, consumed by this for the rest of Christmas Eve.
Snakes began manifesting in your house physically.
Truly. And more to the point, it really highlights the fact that Scott Derrickson, oh boy, as a director, if you give him numbers to paint by, he will certainly paint by those numbers. That's all that can be said for him.
No, that's literally.
It. I'm sorry. Literally. That's all that can be. And people wanted him to have directed Multiverse of Madness. And I'm like, are you insane?
They're wrong.
Are you genuinely insane in comparison to Sam fucking Raimi?
Imagine, okay, can you imagine saying to yourself, I think that Scott Derrickson should have directed this movie instead of Sam Raimi? What crack are you smoking?
What planet are you fucking on? Like, and granted, I've seen this, I've seen Doctor Strange. I haven't seen The Black Phone. I've heard it's just kind of okay.
Yeah, like, I feel like The Black Phone has to be better than this.
It has to. Well, the bar is in hell, that's Taylor. True. That's the bar true. Is in hell. Oh, there are God. So many movies that are better than this one, and they're not very good either.
Man on Horse is better than this film.
Man on Horse has had cultural significance. This film has had nothing.
I wouldn't say that, because for a lot of people, this is a very important film for them. And I don't want to say that those people are stupid, but like...
I do want to say that they're wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
That was so mean. I'm sorry.
No, like, they already left. They already left. We told them to leave. They left. Anything that they hear now, that's on them.
That's true. Anyway.
We gave you an out. You're not stupid. You're just wrong. It's okay.
It's okay. Hey, I'm wrong about a lot of things.
I'm wrong about so much every day.
I'm proudly wrong about so many things, and I own it.
I think Prince Lestat and the Realms of Atlantis is a pretty good book.
I'm a Marvel fan.
We're all wrong about stuff. It's okay. It's fine. You just need to own up to it. Anyway, Sinister is a movie.
Sinister is a movie.
Even get into the plot summary, I do just want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
Which is that the main character of this film has the stupidest name anyone has ever had in any movie, I think.
And I've, listen.
Ellison Oswalt? What the fuck?
It's a very dumb name.
I hate that name. Anytime anyone said that name, anytime it cut to the fucking any of his books with his name on the book, it's the worst name. Pick a different name.
It's so bad.
You could have named him anything.
You could even keep Oswald. You can keep Ellison or you can keep Oswald. Yeah, but you can't have both.
You can't have both.
You can't have both, Scott. You can't.
This is just, see, that's my problem with this movie, is that this whole fucking movie is Scott Derrickson, and I gotta get the other writer's name, C. Robert Cargill, trying to fucking have their cake and eat it too.
And they can't.
And I think that's my hot take about this movie, is that I think that the main character's name is emblematic of this problem. This movie is trying to be too many things at once, and the fact that the main character has a cool last name sounding first name and a cool first last name sounding last name. Like, name him Ellison Jones. That's a cool name.
That's a name? That sounds like a human being's name.
Name him Jack Oswalt.
Not Jack. Please, not Jack.
Oh, sorry. Name him Joseph Oswalt.
There you go.
You can't have both. You can't. Anyway.
Speaking of, hey, brief aside, everybody, just quick. I have a Webkinz wolf now.
Oh, she got it, guys. She got her Webkinz wolf.
He's over on my bed. I was going to have him with me, but I forgot to grab him when I moved, so.
All right,
let's, we can't, we're 15 minutes in. We need to start fucking talking about the plot of this movie.
This movie takes place in Pennsylvania, too close to where I live. Don't like that.
Even closer to where Meeks lives.
Really upsetting to contemplate. And also, the opening shot of this movie, by the way, is just a bunch of people hanging from a tree.
I will say, listen, this opening, kind of compelling.
No,
kind of
okay,
like shocking.
I agree.
It does what it needs to do. I think the opening of this is a good opening for a movie.
I think that in general, the found footage stuff is pretty good.
Yeah, like I said, this movie has a good premise. I like the idea to of a like point. A demon. To a point. I like the idea of a demon that operates in like film. I think that's cool. I think you could do some cool stuff with that. Scott Derrickson doesn't agree with me because he's wrong about everything.
Again, it's just trying to be too many things at once. Anyway.
Yeah.
Movie takes place in Pennsylvania after we cut away from the fucking family hanging from a tree.
Family hanging out?
Jesus Christ. Yeah. The film follows aforementioned asshole of the fucking year, guy I hate, Ellison Oswald. And you,
not my friend Steven.
You might think that my vitriol directed at this character is perhaps a little unjustified, but I need to take you behind the scenes. I didn't take any notes during this movie. Save for one.
Oh my god!
I wrote a single note. And that note is, Ethan Hawke is perhaps the worst father in film history. And I wrote nothing else.
Is he worse than Eddie Murphy in The Haunted Mansion?
That's a great question.
Battle of the Bad Dads. Who is a worse
screen
father?
I'm gonna make that a poll underneath, you know, this podcast on Spotify. So you guys should vote on that.
I'm gonna do some Eddie Murphy propaganda here.
Great sentence out of context.
Ellison Oswald is at the very least not sending his children into the zombie depths to retrieve a key.
Okay, but he is knowingly moving his family into the murder house.
This is true, but also there was no physical threat to the children. He doesn't know that it's haunted by Bagel the
it's
Demon.
It's still fucked up to move your family into the murder house. And it's lie to them about
up, it. But it's not quite as fucked up as sending your child into danger. I think Eddie Murphy has to take it.
I guess so.
Anyway.
Yeah, so the family that was hanging out in the opening scene is the Stevensons. Ellison has moved his family into the house where the Stevensons lived, and they died in the backyard because he's trying to write a book about it because he wrote this really successful book called Kentucky Blood, which every time I say it, I want to say it in a Kentucky accent, like Kentucky Blood, you know? but he wrote a book called Kentucky Blood, and it was very successful. And then he wrote two shitty books afterwards.
Kentucky Blood was a true crime book that actually, I think, ended up helping in the investigation, they said, or helping them to solve the case. There's a true crime element here that is fascinating to me because it's sort of in the before times when true crime was kind of relegated to novels
and
not to books and not like, you know, podcasts and beauty guru makeup tutorials.
It's a very interesting glimpse into what the true crime landscape looked like in 2012 because it's very different from the true crime landscape 10 years on.
I feel like if you wanted to remake this and like use it as
disclaimer, you shouldn't. Leave this in 2012. We don't need more of these.
I feel like you could remake this or at least use a similar concept to make a movie that is sort of a critique of true crime. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean I was goofing, but like I do agree that you could genuinely do something with this premise. The problem is that the movie is so uninterested in him being not a good person.
Oh yeah, no.
He is
completely
framed as the straight up hero of this film. And it's just like, I don't like him. I hate him. In fact.
You're not my
not
friend,
my friend
Steven.
Steven. Not Steven from my shows. So he's got two kids. He has a British wife.
Inexplicably British wife.
Named.
Who, you know, they asked her to do an American accent and it was dog shit. And they were just like, you know what? Just do it. Just be British.
No, 100%. That's for sure what happened. And they were like, oh, she already signed the contract.
We already cast her.
But they have two kids. They have a 12-year-old son, Trevor. And a 7-year-old daughter named Ashley, who even before anything starts going wrong, already looks like one of the children from Village of the Damned.
and is like making creepy dripping paintings on the walls that are supposed to be charming, but they're, you take one look at those fucking things and you're like, oh cool, you're gonna be like painting in people's blood by the end of this. And got it.
Boy does she. So the family was hung from the, not hung. The hanged. Family was hanged.
Well, we don't know anything about the dad, so.
The family was hanged. I'm just gonna breeze past it. Oh, I hate this podcast. The family was hanged from the tree, but not the daughter. She's like 10. She disappeared. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to figure out maybe what happened to that kid. And
he has moved his family without telling them that they are living yes. in a crime scene.
Which is really cool scene, and awesome.
Really good and normal thing you should do to really your family.
Great dad. He meets some cops.
Father of the fucking
he meets
year.
Some cops.
Ew.
Yeah, ew. But also, not you, because James Ransone is here and I like him.
I like
when
him.
He shows up in things. He's good.
This was the first movie I had ever seen him in before I saw It Chapter 2.
Okay, and I'm going to say something controversial. Do you think he and Ethan Hawke had a little something-something? Do you think they had a gay little thing going on?
Ethan Hawke in this movie strikes me as a complete and utter straight man, but like James Ransone cop definitely had a fucking crush
yeah,
on him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they had to have actually fucked for them to have a gay little thing going on.
Oh yeah, no, of course.
But yeah, James Ransone for sure.
I think
had
there was
a
gay little thing going on, but it was one
yes,
side.
Yes, completely.
Also, can I just say, James Ransone's character is the protagonist of Sinister 2, which
There's
is a movie
a
that
Sinister
got made.
Sinister 2?
Shockingly, Sinister 2 is actually like, it's not good, but it's a lot more competent and cohesive than Sinister 1. I would rewatch Sinister 2 if somebody wanted to watch it with me. Like, it's
I would much rather James Ransone cop be the protagonist of a Sinister film than fucking shitty ass Ethan Hawke.
The problem is the fact that they forgot to give him a name in this movie came back to bite them in the ass, and he still doesn't have a name by the end of the second
yeah,
because
Ethan Hawke puts him in his phone as Officer So-and-So.
No, Deputy So-and-So. So-and-so.
Yes.
And I know this because
you've seen this movie 10 times.
No, actually, I know this because my friend, well, she's Jamie's friend, like Jamie's best friend, kind of an extended member of our family. Her name is Court, is also in on the Sinister memes, and I've had her in my phone as Deputy So-and-So
Jesus
for years.
Christ.
I sign all of her presents on Christmas to Deputy
That's
So-and-so.
That's genuinely iconic, honestly.
So, that's, I don't like how deeply Sinister has ingrained itself into my life, but that's just how it is. Anyway.
So, question. Are there scorpions yes. in Pennsylvania?
I don't think there are. I think scorpions are in the fucking desert,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess it's just anything kind of out of place in this universe can be chalked up to Mr. Boogie's influence or fucking whatever his name is.
Bagul.
But the reason that I say this is because Ethan Hawke finds a box in the attic with a scorpion in it and mm-hmm. a projector and some Super 8 film, and they all have fun innocuous names.
Family hanging out, pool party, lawn mowing the lawn yeah. or whatever the fuck.
Silly. Oh, so silly.
But Ghoul's just in a silly, goofy mood.
But yeah, he watches all these fucking movies.
And they all start out with a family being normal, and then it turns into a snuff film where they're killed in ways pertaining to whatever the family happened to be doing. The family who is hanging out at the pool gets drowned. The family who was hanging out in the backyard is hanging out in the backyard.
Now let's chat about the lawnmower, right? Because that's okay. the scene in this movie that that's the only scene I ever hear anybody talk about. And it's because it's the only good scene in the movie. I genuinely think that that is good filmmaking. I think it's good. I think it's scary. I think it works. That on its own.
No, you're right.
Perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a well-executed jump scare in a movie where there are not many.
Because this movie is chock full of jump scares and all of them are shit garbage. And that was the one that worked for me. I was like, okay. Okay, you got me.
Like the end? You didn't like the end?
I didn't. It was so... Like, anyway, we'll talk about that. Because I have stuff to say about the end of this movie. I don't feel bad spoiling what the twist is. Because anybody with half a brain could figure out that the twist is that the kids are killing their parents.
Yeah, that's... I wrote in my notes, like... I've watched this movie so many times, I can't even remember if the kids being the killers were supposed to be a twist.
I mean, I knew the twist going in, but I still feel as if it was set up as a twist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good twist. Again, like, anybody with a modicum of, like, knowledge of horror movies, you know, because they say, like, oh.
A modicum of sentience.
Yes, that also. But, like, they're like, okay, like, so, like, the kids went missing from these families. There's an unseen person operating the camera. We know that the fucking kids killed their families. And also, he has a small, creepy daughter. Like, we know what's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to Deputy So-and-so, and... he finds out that all the murders took place at different times in different cities. Like, it's not just all around that house. Which, you know what? I will give them credit for that. That's kind of fun. That's cool. Okay. Fine. And, so a child from each family disappeared following every murder. And before the Stevensons, that was the family hanging out, moved to... the murder house where I almost just called him Scott Derrickson, where Ethan Hawke and his family are currently living. They lived in the house that another family was killed in.
That the other family lived in, yeah. And here's the thing. From here in the film, the movie enters a cycle. And the cycle is Ethan Hawke watches a fucked up movie. He wanders around the house and sometimes spooky things happen. The next morning, he and his wife have weird marital tension.
She is very British in his direction.
She's very British in his direction. And then he watches another movie. Like, it does this 3 or 4 times. And, oh god, it gets old so fast. I literally, like, I've seen this movie so many times. At some point, I just... Behind the curtain, peek behind the curtain, listeners, as much as Taylor has only written one note, I got distracted reading Werewolf by Night fanfiction in the middle while this was just on in the background. That's this movie. That's not good. It's boring. It's not even like cyclical in like a good autistic way, like The Wizard of Oz. It's just repetitive, and it's boring, and there's a good fucking chunk where basically nothing happens.
Yeah, a lot of this movie, and also, can we talk about the fact that this is so fucking dark?
It's so dark.
They needed more fucking lights on this set. My god.
It is the goddamn handle set on here.
I watched this during the day, in my room.
Yeah.
And I had to close my blinds because it was genuinely getting hard to see.
Oh my god.
Yeah, really good. Like, really good filmmaking, I think.
Which is, I think they moved all the lights to the Doctor Strange set so they could just blare bright light on all those concrete
sets. Yeah, and it's just boring in a different way. Yeah, it's like he learned the wrong lesson from this film. He's like, oh, everyone said Sinister was too dark. I'm making the new Doctor Strange movie. I guess I'll just make everything really flat
crank
and
up the
boring looking and super bright.
Crank up the brightness. And then Sam Raimi will come in and actually make Kamar-Taj look good.
So anyway, there's this fucking stupid-ass cycle happens where it's just boring-ass Ethan Hawke and then, like, children crawling out of boxes and stuff. I'm just gonna, like, rip a joke from another podcast really quick because I thought this was very funny. The podcast Werewolf Ambulance referred to these children as oatmeal-faced children. And it's true.
They're just... If you've seen a creepy child in a horror movie, you've seen these fucking kids.
They really do look like they're covered in oatmeal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, thanks, thanks Werewolf Ambulance for that joke, and also, I really like your podcast. So he goes to this professor guy who...
Yes. You know the fucking trope. The professor guy in the horror movie who knows about the spooky thing that's happening.
Because there's all these weird symbols.
Yeah, I'm gonna get one of those symbols tattooed. I think I will.
I think you should get it tattooed like on like my forehead, right in the middle of your forehead. Yeah,
fuck yeah.
Just so that everybody when they meet you knows what they're dealing with.
Yeah,
but he goes to this professor guy and the guy launches into this The dumbest lore. This made me, when I tell you this made me, like, really angry. And I don't know why. This scene pissed me off so bad I had to pause the movie. Because I got so fucking mad.
Oh boy, please.
I think it's emblematic of, like, what is my least favorite thing in any horror movie. Which is the fucking, like, we have, like, a folkloric thing, right? That has, like, a kind of fun, childish name. Like, The Boogeyman. But we're a serious movie. This ain't your mama's Boogeyman.
It's Bagul.
It's an ancient fucking Babylonian god named Bagul.
I'm sure very real Mesopotamian deity. Yeah,
of course.
Deity.
I'm sure that they did a lot of really deep dive religion like research. Mm-hmm.
What is the theology Bagul? Of Bagul? I want Bagul. To know. Scott, answer my phone calls. I want to talk about Bagul's theology.
Bagul is...
his place in the study.
Maybe the worst horror movie villain ever? Question mark?
He literally just looks like Gene Simmons.
He does! Yeah, he looks like Slipknot.
He just looks like some rejected member of KISS.
Slipknot ass in the pool.
I'm looking at a fucking picture of him.
He looks so stupid! I hate him.
Oh, God. It's just...
So, yeah, he kills whole families, and then he steals a child and eats their soul. Because, you know how ancient Babylonian gods do?
Yeah, you know. You didn't learn about this in high school? This was in my fucking social studies textbook.
So, yeah, the professor is like, I think that this is a cult thing. And Ethan Hawke is like, sounds legit to me. And then he...
I wish it was a cult thing.
Then this little girl paints a picture, right?
She painted a fucking picture!
this is one of my favorite things about you. Is that... one of my favorite things about you is that, like... When you and your siblings latch onto a movie like this, or The Room, or something, you guys latch on to the strangest things to make into, like, inside jokes.
It's like that, and then, like, whenever that fucking box shows up in the attic, we all just go cube for some reason. It's not even a cube. Then oh my god, the other one, the one that like really stands out with this picture. One is WD so-and-so going, Well, snakes don't have feet, so.
Oh, the kind of insanity that only watching this movie. How many years would you say that you and your siblings have done this?
This came out in 2012. So this either happened. Hang on. Let me just do a little Googling here, listeners, real quick. Release date. So Sinister released in theaters October 12th, 2021. Not 2021. No, God, no. 2012. Sorry. I genuinely think I have, like, whatever the numbers dyslexia is. There's a name for it, but I don't know what it is.
Dyspraxia, I think.
Dyspraxia, thank you. I genuinely think I have that.
I think it would be really funny if I said that very confidently and then somebody like messaged me in 2 days being like, that actually means that your bones are inside out or some shit. Like,
well, I have that too.
Yeah, just like Bagul. Bagul did that to you.
Yeah, he did. So if I don't think I would have had a DVD release by December. So I want to say we probably started in 2013. 10 years.
10 years.
Oh. Years old. This will be the 10 year. This will be a decade of doing Sinister on Christmas Eve.
Guys,
that's really funny.
This is the
10 year anniversary.
Jesus,
so perfect.
Christ. 10 times you've seen Sinister.
Well, 9.
Oh right, because
nine.
Because of the year
we didn't.
The curse.
Yes, the year of the curse.
Oh my God. But yeah, the daughter paints a fucking picture. She painted a fucking picture.
Painted a fucking picture!
So stupid!
It's so dumb.
But yeah, she says that it's Stephanie. And then on a different night...
Stephanie is
yeah,
the girl
sorry,
who
Stephanie
died.
Is just... the... What, you guys don't live in my brain? You don't...
You guys haven't seen... You guys aren't down on the
deep
Sinister
lore?
You guys
don't know the names of the murdered children from Sinister? Fuck off. Another night, he hears the projector running, and he just, like, goes up, and the kids are all watching one of the movies?
They're having a little sleepover.
Like, at that point, it's just kind of like, I think we should just let him hang out.
Yeah, here's the thing. Bagul is very clearly keeping these children's souls, like, with him, right? To, like, do his bidding. I want the fucking daddy daycare with Bagul and all these fucking kids.
Okay, hot take. I think it would be kind of fun to be a kid hanging out with Bagul. I think it would be, like, a good time.
You know what? The sequel actually kind of explores this. Yeah, they're all kind of like a squad.
Oh, cool.
And they, like... They, like, entice other kids into, like, to join them. That's how Bagul, like, ensnares them, is that he sends his little fucking army of children to be like, hey, ensnare, like, attempt this kid. Tell him that it'll be cool if he joins us.
It's like one of those after-school specials from the 90s.
Yeah. Like I said, the sequel is, like, it's not a masterpiece or anything, but it is definitely a better movie than this. Anyway.
So yeah, he goes up and all the kids are just hanging out and having a sleepover. And then Bagul appears on the camera.
Ooh.
And then he just shows up in front of fucking Ethan Hawke. And then Ethan Hawke is like, well, now with this has gone far enough.
After like a week
of
scary,
of
escalating scary things
watching
happening.
Snuff films. Now he's like, enough is enough.
These fucking kids are in my attic now.
You're going to say these kids are in my ass.
Well, no, Taylor, that's
I
not.
Know. It's like the Ant-Man thing.
Okay.
You know?
Yes,
that's
yes,
the way
I do.
To defeat Bagul is to get very small, to go up his butt, and then get big. Has Scott Derrickson considered that?
Well, he has done a Marvel
movie. Exactly. So yeah, he destroys the tapes. And then he goes back to his wife and he's like,
sets him on
fire. Going back to the old place. Because like, that's a thing that you can do.
I think they mentioned that they were like trying to sell the house.
And not succeeding.
Okay. And not succeeding. So they still like had it.
Okay, I buy it. I don't know why I said that like you were telling me something that was not text in the film. But then the professor sends him a bunch of quote-unquote historical pictures of Bagul. Oh.
Yeah, you know, Photoshop.
Yeah, like, also, like, they're not good Photoshops.
They're not. Hey, they're not.
They have all, like, the symbols on them. And then, apparently, early Christians believed that images of Bagul were, like, a gateway for him to come out of the spirit realm and take your children.
Do you know the trailer for this posited Bagul as something of like a almost, I hate to make this comparison, right? Because I hate to give Stephen Moffat literally anything. Like you know how he's the weeping angels, like the image of an angel becomes an angel, etc. Like Bagul, the trailer posited like Bagul like lived in images of Bagul and stuff like that. Rather than this bullshit, yeah, whatever it is.
This
and
I feel cool.
Like, that's kind of a cool idea. But then the trailer fucking lied. And it was just this.
Deputy so-and-so calls Ethan Hawke, but not before Ethan Hawke finds the projector and the films that he burned in his attic. With a new film
womp womp.
Titled Extended Cut Endings.
Extended Cut.
Oh yeah
baby. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. But yeah, when he watches the footage.
Release the Bagul cut.
I mean, this movie did.
Yeah.
The new footage, when he watches it, the extended cut endings. Bagul is that he's kind of fun. Like, he's got like a silly, goofy sense of humor.
He's kind of goofy.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like he takes good care of these kids. I think it would be fun to hang out with him.
Do you think he's like a cool dad?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I think that Bagul strikes me as the kind of dad who's like, you can drink a little, but like in the house, like just like it's better if we know, like, you know, just so that you're not like doing it in dangerous situations, like.
Okay,
smoke
here's
a little
my,
bit of weed,
here's my,
but like, yeah.
Yeah. Do it here where you're safe. Here's my proposition for a movie, right? Okay. So you have Bagul and his kids. And then you have the woman in black and her
kids. Oh my god,
kids,
the Brady
right?
Bunch!
And you get like a Cheaper by the Dozen kind of thing going. And like she is the uppity, like, strict parent who needs to learn how to loosen up and he needs to learn responsibility. It writes itself, really.
Why am I like grinning right now? Like, why is this like a really good idea for a movie?
Blumhouse, hit me up. We'll talk. Jason, hit me up. We'll talk. You're doing insane things again now, right? We're doing, we got Night Swim and Imaginary coming out. Hit me up. I'll give you Sinister 3
and Magic 8 Ball.
Woman in Black 3. And Magic 8-Ball, give me Magic 8-Ball back right now. Right now, Jason. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Give her back to me.
So, he dies in the stupidest possible way.
Chopped up by his own fucking daughter.
Well, yes, that. But also, beforehand, there's slimy green sludge in his coffee. Let's just be honest with ourselves here. Slimer came in his coffee. Right?
Did I not just say he put the ghost cum in
the,
she put
the
ghost
cum
in
his coffee. He drank, and we all know what happens when you drink Slimer's cum. You die.
You die.
You get chopped up by your 7-year-old daughter. Duh.
Loser.
So yeah. He passes out because he drank Slimer's cum. He wakes up, his son and his wife are bound and gagged on the floor, and the daughter, as we all expected, is filming with a fucking 8mm camera, and she's like, Daddy, I'll make you famous again. Ooh, spooky. And she kills them all with an axe. But then she uses their blood to the paint end. Pictures on the walls of the hallway.
Listen to me. This movie takes fucking forever to end. It draws itself out, quoth Lindsay Ellis, like a long, embarrassing fart.
Real.
And it ends on the worst jump scare ever put to film.
I fucking hated this jump scare. It is the platonic ideal of a dirt cheap, horrible, like, we know we made a shitty movie, so you know what? One last thing we're gonna do is we're gonna play a fucking loud noise and make Bagul jump out at you and then fucking roll credits. I hate it. It's so, it made me upset.
It's so
It also
bad.
Pisses me off when Guys, I get hey. Got by a jump scare in a movie like this. And, like, I understand that it is just, like, animal response to being startled. But also, like, I feel like the movie got me. And I don't want to give this movie
makes you,
credit for anything.
If it makes you feel better, it did also get me the first time I watched it. So we are in this together. And I was in a theater. With my fucking ex-boyfriend.
Like, I didn't know this was coming.
Who's the real loser here?
I said, I didn't know it was coming.
I didn't either. I was a baby horror fan. I was a baby horror fan.
And it just pissed me off. Because it made me feel like the movie won. Right?
And you know what? Hey, Scott.
You didn't win.
You don't get to win in that cheap-ass fucking way. Fuck you. I hope you never direct. I hope you don't direct Doctor Strange 3.
I hope Sam Raimi
Lick
directs Doctor Strange 3. Bitch. Your decision to cut Donna out of the first movie made an aspect of Multiverse of Madness borderline incoherent, and it made people think it was Sam Raimi's fault when it was your fault.
You did
when
this.
When it was your fucking fault. Scott.
Scott.
That was uncharacteristically vitriolic.
We are not always a thing bad podcast, but when we
boy,
are,
do we go hard.
Do you want to like give us some levity with some Letterboxd reviews,
Taylor?
Oh my god,
yeah, otherwise I'm just going to be like genuinely very mad. So I do a segment on this podcast called Live Laugh Letterboxd, where I read funny Letterboxd reviews. This first review is from Fatima, who says, I wasn't paying attention, so this was just a bunch of loud noises, and I occasionally looked up to see Ethan Hawke in a cardigan.
Fatima, you didn't miss anything.
I will say...
That's literally all it is.
I will say, there a lot of these reviews were very Ethan Hawke's cardigan-centric.
It's quite a piece. It's
and
quite
he
a
never
statement
takes
piece.
It off.
We've made jokes about that cardigan in the basement of my parents' house.
Marcia says, yawning. Marcia says, if my husband ever moved me and my family to a murder house, divorce.
It would become a murder house again.
Yeah.
I would add to the murder.
Huge film guy just says, Ethan Hawke on the JV squad just screaming at his Australian wife. 2.5 stars.
Oh my god.
Matt Samahal says, I think what we're all thinking, which is, I don't know which sounds more stupid, Mr. Boogie or the Bye Bye Man.
I think the Bye Bye Man sounds stupider. Mr. Boogie is like, okay, fine, that's like the boogeyman, fine. The Bye-Bye Man is
yeah,
fucking
nothing.
Yeah,
the Bye-Bye
nothing.
Man sucks ass. I've also never seen the Bye-Bye Man.
I've seen the
is
Bye-Bye
it good?
Man. I saw the Bye-Bye Man in theaters. No. Of course it's not. It's called the Bye-Bye Man.
You know what? you're right. I should have. Yeah. Yuki says... Mr. Boogie is so camp. Like, he wants to be Sadako Yamamura so bad.
Bagul drag queen routine. Mm, is this
yeah,
anything?
No, I would support him. Haunted Hippie simply says, free birth control. Don't have kids, they'll kill you. Cinema says, and here I was thinking Martin Scorsese was our most committed advocate for film preservation. And finally, A reading from the Book of Jace.
Mm-hmm. My brother.
Every Christmas, I gather with friends and family to watch this film. Every Christmas, we comment that we forgot how long it is, how boring. Every Christmas, we think, but do not say, that this must be the last year of Sinister. Every Christmas, we leave, assuming we won't go back. Every Christmas, I gather with friends and family to watch this film. 1.5 stars.
And listeners, in 2 weeks' time, I will gather with friends and family to watch this film.
How many stars are you giving it?
1.5 a star. I can't stand this movie.
I gave it 2 stars. I think I was being generous.
Why?
I'm going to bump it down to 1.
You're being so nice.
This is an offensive film.
This is a bad movie, and the worst part of it is that people think it's good. And, like, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, of course. And I have my own fair share of bad opinions, trust me. They are objectively correct. But I can see where it tricked people. It's a little bit like Ouija 2 in that sense. Is that I see where it fooled people into thinking that it was
a
good
movie. Can I
say
something? I think you might be the first person to ever pull out a Ouija 2 reference when not speaking about the
Ouija 2
franchise.
Ouija 2, first off, directed by Mike Flanagan, which is insane. I'm sorry, Mike. We all have a stinker. It's
fucking
fine. I love everything else you've ever done. Yeah. I have to, like, listen, I don't know anything about the production of Ouija 2, but I have to, part of me has to imagine that Mike Flanagan
was brought onto a sinking ship.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the thing about Ouija 2, right, is that it's a decent movie. It's fine. It's a little bit like Sinister in that it's not very good, but it's also better. It's like Sinister 2, sorry. In that it's not very good, but it's at least better than the original.
Yeah.
Which was, again, the bar for both Ouija and Sinister in hell.
Did we watch the first Ouija movie together? Why did I watch that?
Because I come to your house every year and I bring with me horrible teen horror movies to watch.
That is so weird.
Just wait till February. Just wait till next February. I'll bring the bye-bye man. Don't fucking test me.
And then I will lead you to my front door and say, bye-bye, man. That's my one good joke of the evening.
But anyway.
Yeah, I can see how this movie tricked people. I can understand seeing this movie maybe at an impressionable age, or if you're not really into horror.
It has the trappings of a good horror movie, but the substance is just not there.
I think also the good stuff is good in a way that makes... I mean, it's the reason that people only ever talk about the lawnmower scene. Because, like, that is the... First of all, it's the one good scene of the film. Two, if a scene like that freaks you out bad enough, you're not going to remember the really long rest of the movie, which is mostly just Ethan Hawke walking around his house in a cardigan.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I get it. I hate this movie.
I also hate this movie, and I will be watching it in 2 weeks. Also in 2 weeks, we will be watching another Accursed Christmas movie that one of us has a weird past with.
Get fucking hype, guys. Oh, we'll have a special guest on for it, too.
Yes, we will be watching 1998's Jack Frost.
It's not the one with Michael Keaton. Even though that did come out the same year.
Oh, it's not? Oh, it's not? Oh, no, yes. Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. I'm looking at the one that's 1997's Black Jack. Nope. That's 1997's Jack Frost. My bad. I completely forgot that we weren't watching the Michael Keaton one, which is not a horror movie at all.
It's a wholesome family adventure.
I'm insane. Anyways, we will be watching that next time, and we will have Taylor's sister Autumn on to discuss it. It'll be a great time. It'll be our last.
It'll be our last episode ever.
Yeah.
We will die immediately after the end of recording.
Until then, you can follow us at FGF Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And if you enjoyed our little show here today, you can give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, do whatever it is you need to do on your podcast platform of choice to let us know you had a good time. And we will see you next time for Jack Frost. Goodbye, everybody. Bye.